This is Door Bumper Clear, and I'm Jason Schultz. Our spotters are back from Atlanta, where Freddie Kraft picked up the Xfinity Series win. We'll talk about that, cover the games being played at the end of pit road, debate the length of the Atlanta race, and hear which driver the guys believe should be fined. It all starts right now on DBC.
I'm TJ Majors. This is Brent Griffin.
Hey, me too now. This is Freddie Kraft.
Get ready.
Be ready. Be ready.
Give me what you got here.
New leader.
Watch out for this guy.
White flag.
Recognize.
Go low. Go low.
Clear.
Bring home.
Three wide.
Coming to the line.
Door. Bumper. Clear.
Hey, everybody. I'm TJ Majors, spotter of the 22 Cup car. And joining me is not feeling well today.
I feel great. I'm just sleep deprived. And maybe I need a Bloody Mary. Brett Griffin, spotter for Clint Bowyer, who had a ending to a good day yesterday in Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
Yeah. Hotlanta. It was hot.
I told y'all.
What's up, Freddie Kraft, spotter for Bubba Wallace. He was hot. And I had old AJ on Saturday. That was a good day. Derek Krause had a good day, too, in the truck. So Saturday was a good day. Sunday, eh, we had a decent day going and had a loose wheel, kind of ruined our day. But Saturday was pretty good.
Casey, hello, bring woman. Some excitement to this show, because so far we're not having a very good intro here. And you haven't said a word since you got on this Zoom, so
I don't have to, because y'all will not stop talking. You're so grumpy this morning, Brett. It's kind of annoying.
You were grumpy when we told you the light was too white.
Well, I don't know what to do. I literally paid for a light that's not even working.
I mean, last week it worked great.
I think it's sunlight.
A little bit better. You look a little bit better right now, for sure, than what you did.
The solution is we actually get back in the studio and act like we can be normal around here again. Is anybody else down with that?
I don't know if Casey's down with that.
I'd be down if we're still social distancing. We do have a pretty big table, so.
We definitely have a table built for social distancing.
Yeah.
As long as we just have to put Brett and Freddie next to each other, since they're with each other a lot anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
They don't need to social distance as much.
No.
I love how we get on these airplanes and like we sit on each other's lap, and then when you get off the plane, they're like, everybody social distance. And I'm like, whoop, we were just on a plane. Like, you can't social. I don't know if you guys know this, but you can't social distance on a plane.
I thought that they were trying to social distance up on the plane too, so I guess not.
We were distanced on the plane pretty well.
So yeah, you were one person per row? Were one person per plane?
Almost one person per row. There might have been one row that had two or something like that, but everyone's pretty spread out. You're staggered and stuff. I mean, as good as you can get on an airplane.
This is so this whole, if you're old, if you're at risk, you need to be careful. But this, beyond that, this is so ridiculous. And look, I know we have state guidelines we got to obey. I know NASCAR's doing everything the right way, but I'm so over this crap. Like, you go one place and it's normal, you go to the next place and it's like you're in a different country. I'm over it. I want to go back to normal immediately.
It's kind of funny. I'm realizing now that whether you're tired and grumpy or you're as happy as a clam, you still complain equally as much. So
I'm not complaining. I'm saying that this is stupid and let's go back to normal immediately. Press the button. Reset.
And I'd like to shout out our lovely producer, Jason, who is also on the call.
It's not really our producer anymore. He's more the Dell Junior Island, our part-time producer, Jason Schultz.
Thank you, Casey. I'd like to congratulate Freddie Kraft on his victory on Saturday.
Yeah.
His first ever Xfinity Series win, Mr. Freddie Kraft.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's your first Xfinity win ever?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I lost that. I spotted for William in that race that he lost to Denny by a bumper, and it's been driving me crazy for about 4 years that I didn't have one.
Yeah. Where was that, Michigan was or something?
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, I was filling in for Earl. Earl had some kind of family problem and had to fill in. Almost won that one. It drove me crazy. I know it drives Bubba crazy. Hopefully we can get Bubba a one before he's done. But
you lost to Denny Hamlin in an Xfinity race.
And he was cheating. We lost by the length of a splitter, and he had an illegal splitter. So,
wow.
I mean, I was kind of a kick in the balls.
Back then, you got to keep your win when you cheated. Yeah. Now you can't keep your win anymore.
Yeah.
How'd you celebrate?
Same way as always. Waited for Brett to get there and went to a bar and drank as much as I possibly could
for a couple hours. You can't celebrate the night before a race. Did you guys see that Twitter picture that I put out after Freddie won that race, though? I was like, hey, Freddie won the race. Good thing he's off tomorrow, which obviously you weren't off the next day. The picture was taken at Hello Sailor, which is a restaurant here on Lake Norman, for those of you who knew, and it was a fun place. It was called the Rusty Rudder. And this boat, I got a friend that works there, and this boat rolls up with these three guys on it, and they're slamming into the boat dock like it's a complete disaster, and he leaves these two guys passed out on this boat. And the medics had to come and tend to these people. Like, what an idiot.
Was Freddie okay?
I was okay. I made it to work. I mean, geez, you got to see this picture. It looks like a movie scene. But, yeah, no, we just went out, had some couple beers and got some food and hung out with our buddy Justice from SHR, ran into my pit crew, which was a really cool part about the win on Saturday was it was also my pit crew from the 43. So, you know, and they actually had the – what I mean, it was – couldn't have played out any better. We had a great pit stop. We were running about fifth all race. Had a great pit stop, came out third, and then the two leaders got caught speeding on the last pit stop. So just handed us the lead of the race, and we checked out from there. But I was like, I don't know what AJ was thinking. We come off fifth or third, and with that backstretch, I'm like, hey, guess what? You're leading now. He's both guys in front of you and the 22, actually, who was right behind us, who was also pretty good. They all got busted on the last stop, but 22 didn't have tires, so we weren't worried about him anymore.
So the synergy around a race is weird, right? Obviously, no fans are there. Obviously, you know, we get there, we park, we walk to wherever the hell they put us. But you win the race, and you cannot go inside of the racetrack. We physically, spotters are not allowed on the infield. So what's going through your mind after you win? Are you like, I just stand here and watch this guy do a burnout? You go to your car? Like, I mean, obviously you can't even go take a picture with this guy.
Yeah, it was like, you know, we're pretty pumped up on the radio. Obviously, AJ, I didn't even realize this beforehand, but that was his first oval win. And something that, I mean, I guess it's been like his number one goal in the sport. So he was going ape on the radio, like just screaming, thanking colleague and everybody. And then got, you know, caught him around front and just said, you know, good job or whatever. So then, like you said, like he's over there doing a burnout. I just start taking my stuff off and I was like, okay, guess I'll go back to the hotel now. Like it's the end of it. So yeah, it was definitely different, but you know, still pretty cool at the same time.
So last night, Tim Fedor wins a race with Harvick and it's the same thing. Like I get to the airport, I get on the airplane, five steps later, here's Tim Fedor. And I'm like, this isn't supposed to be this way, man. You just won the race and you're getting on the air. What a weird, weird deal, man. But congrats. That's cool to win your first Xfinity Series race. Always fun to win races. I mean, dude, that's what we do this for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, winning doesn't suck.
Never has. Never will.
No.
A little bit different than what it used to look like, but hopefully
winning is definitely fun. It is different not being able to go to victory lane, but at least we're back at the racetrack competing and getting, you know, it seems like we're taking small steps every week to getting to back somewhat normal. You know, and I know it's going to take time and stuff like that. But, hey, I think it's still been a huge success for NASCAR to go through all the work they went through to get us all back at the racetrack. And so far, everything they've done has been seamless and great. No practice. The tech's working great. They're doing the procedures before the race, I think, giving us a pit road run and stuff. Everything's going really good. So, you know, great for them. Hopefully we can just keep taking small steps at getting back to more of a normal race weekend.
So, Freddie, you obviously in Xfinity Series haven't had an opportunity to spot for a lot of fast cars on a regular basis, right? So last year you were full-time Johnny Davis. This year you had to pick, do a part-time car with AJ Allmendinger or do another full-time deal where you probably aren't going to win. How do you go about making the decision of shifting from that car that couldn't win, where you can have a job and work every week and get paid every week versus, you know, working for a deal where you know you only are going to race 8-10 times a year?
Yeah, I mean, and this is something we talked about because you're kind of the one that brought this deal to me. And, you know, it's just what we talked about. Winning's everything, man. You want to win races. And not that I love Johnny Davis. I love Brian Berry, the GM over there. Them guys treat you better than most car owners in the sport will. I mean, you get a text from them every race saying, thanks for taking care of my race car, keeping it clean. And that's after a 23rd place finish. You know what I mean? They know what they're there for. They appreciate it. obviously, the higher you go up on a team, the pay scale is a little bit better also. So, and that's just what they can afford. It's not that they don't, you know, appreciate the spotter, but they just can't afford to have the same budget as a team like Colleague can. So, you know, it kind of, between the money and the ability to win races, I'd rather do 10 races and have a shot at winning every 10, all of them, than hoping to run 20th for the whole season. You know what I mean? It's just, in my mind, it was a no-brainer. Obviously, it paid off, won a race. I think we're going to probably win some more here. So, it really was a no-brainer for me, but that was just a thought process going into it. You know, you're there to win races. You want to win races. You know, it helps your notoriety. It helps you, you know, you can say next time you're looking for a gig, yeah, you know, I got Xfinity win on my resume now.
Freddie's confident now.
I mean, I've always been confident. I won a lot of races back in the day, but, you know, it's been a struggle the last few years. I mean, we won a bunch of truck races and won one last year at Talladega with Spencer Boyd. But, you know, when you grow up short tracks, winning races every week, and then you get to this level and you're hoping to run 20th, it wears on you. It wears on you a lot, you know, and if you go through that for 3 or 4 years, you know, it starts to make this stuff not fun. So that's what made moments like Saturday a lot better for me.
There's a handful of guys that can win races, and I mean, I'm talking about guys that are sitting in the seat. So it's important as spotters to try to get with those handful of guys. I mean, it's no fun. Look, man, I was having a blast yesterday spotting when we were leading the race. When we got back there running 7th and 8th, I was like, this is the worst, most boring race I've ever seen in my life. Get me off the roof. I got to do something different. I'm going crazy up here. I'm bored to death. Like, it's crazy how the same race leading is fun, and running 7th, you're like, oh, I need a 5-hour energy. I'm bored to death back here.
You should have came back there with me and Freddie.
Jesus. What the hell are you doing back there?
I finished behind both you guys because I couldn't stop blowing freaking tires.
You passed me on the last lap.
Well, that's because your guy was passing out.
Man. He is fine, by the way. I seen a bunch of posts. I think I saw one on Reddit last night asking if he was going to run Martinsville because he's so beat up yesterday. He's fine. Just dehydrated. Not the first time. Won't be the last, probably.
It's important to eat good, kids, drink your water, and have a workout regimen. Extremely important in racing.
Yeah.
Maybe some goldfish in there, too.
The goldfish ain't the problem. It's the damn Coca-Cola and Sprite, I think. He just hates water, and he's finally gotten into it a little bit the last couple of years, but he's had a lot, you know, he's had a lot going on. He's put a lot on his shoulders the last week, and I've seen this happen before when he's super mad. NASCAR took a race away from us basically at Iowa one day, and, you know, he got out of the car fuming mad, or truck, it was a truck race, and the same thing happened. The eyes rolled back in his head and it went down, and I think it's just that, you know, he gets himself so angry, the blood pressure gets up and the adrenaline's crashing at the same time. And I mean, on top of being super hot and super dehydrated yesterday, I'm sure some of that played as a part in it too, where he's had a super emotional week and it's coming down off of that after the race is over. It just didn't mix well, but he's fine. I talked to him last night. He's all good, ready to go for Martinsville Wednesday.
All right. Well, before we get started, let's hear more about our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.
What is OfferPad? Well, put simply, we're your online home buyer. OfferPad is the modern home selling solution with a personalized human touch that lets you skip all the traditional headaches. We buy your home from you so you can move forward the moment you're ready. We've had the pleasure of helping thousands of happy home sellers, and we'd love to help you. Getting started is easy. Go to OfferPad.com, enter basic information about your home, and the next day, we'll send you a great offer. It's free and there's no obligation. Why is OfferPad the better way? Because we give you what traditional selling can't: certainty and control. Selling to OfferPad means no showings, you pick your closing day, and we'll even move you locally for free. We have a 94% satisfaction score and a A+ BBB rating for a reason. It truly is a better way. So start thinking about where you want to live next. Get excited about making that move. With OfferPad, you're sold. Go to OfferPad.com and request your free purchase offer today. OfferPad, move free. First topic, spot on, spot off, drivers jockeying for position at the end of pit road for specific restart lanes. How about Freddie?
Spot off, just for the jockeying part at the end of pit road. You know, you don't this is how cars get tore up. The one time it looked ridiculous was, I think it was the 19 and the 4. I think Kyle came off of the lead, and neither one of them wanted to be second, so they basically slowed to a stop at the end of pit road trying to let one beat the other. And the line of traffic was coming behind them. Could have been big. But obviously it's going to lead to the choose rule, the choose cone rule again. Questions. I saw it all day yesterday. I seen Joey said he wants the cone. Brad said he wants single file restarts. So obviously it's a pretty polarizing topic. I'm for the choose cone. I have nothing against it, obviously. I don't think it's going to have the desired effect that people think. You're not going to get a
We're
guy
that's
lined
up. We're not going to have a choose cone. You lost your mind. We're not going to a choose cone.
Can I talk? Or
you no, you can't talk. You? There's no way we do that.
So I just don't think it's going to have the desired effect of what they think. You know what I mean? People think that you're going to have a guy lined up that's starting 12th that's going to line up on the inside because everybody likes the top. It's not going to happen. At the most, the guy's going to move up a row, maybe. You know, a lot of times these guys are just going to double up. You know, you see a place like Bristol, the guy in second might take the top on a restart behind the leader, but everybody else is going to go to the bottom and line up normal. I still like the idea of what the World Outlaws do with, you know, the leaders, wherever the leader lines up in, the odd number cars line up in that line. And that won't help jockeying the position at the end of pit road, but I think it's a more fair way to do it. I don't think the fourth place car should have an advantage over the second and third place cars. So I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something done because you can't put them guys at a disadvantage when they're running in a higher position. But I don't know that the choose cone is the rule.
TJ,
go ahead, Brett. Since you already started,
Well, we already know his stance on this.
My stance on this is if you're a driver, 2 weeks
ago he won the choose cone. Now you now
my stance on this is if you're a driver, spot on because you're trying to put yourself in the best position for you and your team. Spot off to NASCAR for allowing this circus to play out this way. It should be a rule that you have to maintain close to or at pit road speed as you exit. Then we don't have these guys playing these games. We almost tore up some cars in the front of the field because, to Freddie's point, guys were slamming on brakes trying to manipulate where they were going to line up. It's very, very easy. We have all the telemetry in the world now that we can see. I've got my crew chief, lap 20, telling me how deep Joey Logano's driving in the corner with the throttle because we can see all that. You know when these guys are in the gas. You know when they're on the brake. Make a freaking rule. Make these guys stop playing these games. This is not on the drivers because the drivers are trying to do what's best for them and their team. Of all the rules that we have in the sport, and we have too damn many, it's very easy to go in here, make a rule, and make these guys stop playing these games. That's my opinion.
TJ?
I mean, it's just part of it. It's not we've been doing it for years and years now.
4 years probably? How long?
I would say more than that if you knew the preferred lane and you could count it, right? I'd say, I mean, especially where I really think it's going to matter, if we do go to like a choose cone, and we get to like Talladega
or something. We're not going to a choose cone.
I'm just telling you a problem with it is when we get to a place like Talladega, you're going to try to manipulate starts even more there. Or you know what I mean? Or like Freddie says, I don't know if there's a really good way around it. I do agree with the fourth place guy having a better line than the second place guy. But I mean, maybe he should have slowed down more. I don't know. just part of it. I think everybody, you don't have it happen that often where they slam on their brakes that bad, but a couple times, every once in a while, you get guys there's two or three guys that are really bad at it. And I would say those are two of them, and there's one more guy that'll do it almost every week.
Denny Hamlin's worst at it. Denny Hamlin does it more than anybody.
I think Chase does it a lot. I think Chase does it a lot. And it's going to take, you know what? It's going to take a time where they get hit in the back and have to come in and fix their bumper that's hanging off or something, for them to not do it. You know, is it worth getting hit from behind? That's what it's going to take, and it's gonna suck for the guy that's behind who's innocent in the deal, just trying to get off pit road. You know, so but I don't know. I don't know if there's a perfect restart answer. I mean, I would like to see. You know, maybe the All-Star race would be a good time to experiment with something like that. Maybe the All-Star race is a good time to try the inside evens odds or even the cone deal for the All-Star race. Maybe.
If you put Harvick and Truex at the rear yesterday for doing that, they would not do it again and neither would anybody else all day. because we saw who did it. And to Freddie's point, they even did it after the camera, which makes it look even dumber and more dangerous.
Yeah.
But they know who's doing it
when it's blatant looking.
We know who's doing this looking with a naked eye. Surely people looking at technology can prove they did it.
Yeah, so you're gonna penalize the guy that cracks it and loses 2-3 miles an hour the last, you know, quarter of pit road, or you're gonna penalize the guy that hits the brake?
That's not what they're doing. They're doing stuff way more far beyond that. They're slamming on brakes.
But you have to have a line, and it has to be pretty clear what the line is.
It's a freaking judgment call. We saw you do it. You're going to the back. You could have made the call yesterday, TJ. You weren't even spotting them cars. You could have looked and said, this guy did this on purpose. You're out. I wouldn't need a computer. You just need common sense.
You are a computer, Brett. You're just a wealth of knowledge.
My hard drives.
Hey, I got to tell you, it's going to be bad this week again. You know, this is another place where we're going.
Martinsville. One of the worst.
It's not going to bother me. I'll roll off wherever. If you're on the inside, you're on the inside. If you get the outside, great. I'll roll out.
No matter what happens, like we're always running 15th to 20th, and I'll give it some kind of half-ass attempt to count. Like if we're going to be decent, I'll be like, yeah, you good right there. Oh, never mind. Three guys in front of you got speeding penalties. Okay, never mind. We're done.
Every time I nail it, it's like, oh yeah, nailed it. We're gonna be fourth at Bristol, and then be like, oh yeah, the 11 too fast. Oh, now we're third. Great, awesome. Yeah, it's like that every time. That's why we don't really do it that much, because it's like, how do you know if it's 50-50?
It's counterproductive a lot of times. I agree with you.
Yeah, it can bite you just as easy as it can help you. So.
Spot on, spot off. 500-mile length race at Atlanta. TJ.
Spot on for the race length. Spot off for the start time, I guess. I would have liked to have seen it start a little earlier. But I know, you know, it was a one-day show. So probably, I don't know. You know, I think they're getting really good with the schedule stuff. And I think a lot of it can be condensed a little bit more still, which I think they'll work on. But I don't know. I like Atlanta, a hot, slick Atlanta is the best Atlanta we will ever see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm spot off on the 500 miles. I've said this before on here. You know, I think that they had these long races to test the machines and test the drivers. And obviously yesterday, some of the drivers fell out. But, I mean, we had two races that were great on Saturday that, if you added them together, still didn't add up to how long we raced on Sunday. So, I don't know. The start, like TJ said, the start time, you know, things they don't take into account. You know, these guys – a lot of guys travel from out of state. You know, we've got, four or five spotters that come in. Now that 3 o'clock start time, that's an extra day they got to spend on the road because they can't catch a flight.
They choose to live out of state.
Okay. But you still could have a damn 12 o'clock race and they can go home that night. You know, now this is 3 o'clock start. We're done at, whatever, 6, 7 wow. o'clock.
So you want to cater to five guys that spot?
It's not just five guys. There's a lot of people that travel commercially. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, I don't know, there's a lot of things that go into it, but that I've always hated that 3 o'clock start, and I probably always will.
Spot off is too long. Unfortunately, this package still is not fun to race at a mile-and-a-half track. I'm sure TJ's going to try to come in here and kiss somebody's ass and get the brown on his nose, but that package, once we had run 7 or 8 laps, nobody passed anybody. Sorry, spot off. 500 miles is too long. We had an opportunity here to put on a race. This should be a 2.5-3 hour show. Man, 500 miles. How long did that race take? 4 hours?
It's about 4 hours.
It felt like I was watching 1,000 miles at Atlanta. Like, man, give me a 3-hour product. Put it on TV. Let's get traction. Let's grow the sport. Oh, that was brutal yesterday.
I don't mind. I really don't mind a longer race. I do think if you shorten it, you got to shorten. You got to limit tires at some point to make some strategy calls in there.
Did you watch it, Casey?
Yes, I did.
The whole thing?
Very, very, very long.
The whole thing? You watched the whole thing?
I think I stepped away a little bit to eat dinner.
That's a no.
Came back. What? No, I watched most of it.
How many naps did you take?
Honestly, I couldn't take a nap. I wish I could, but I was on my phone a lot of it. Just because, like, you know, there were times where it just, the same thing over and over. It was too long. It was way too long.
I do think the package needs to be adjusted for the mile and a half now. We should almost run the short track package at the mile and a half.
Yeah.
Cut the spoiler down and give a lot of horsepower. Let them go.
Oh, my God. TJ finally said something about this package. This is the truth.
I think TJ had a good point about tire limit. You know, these guys can just come in and fire a tire. I think they had 13 sets of tires yesterday.
Yeah, you can run. You can run 25 laps and then basically get a new set of tires.
Yeah. So I mean, I was a pretty big fan of the Xfinity race on Saturday, but there was strategy involved. You know, the 22 car was probably the fastest car on the racetrack, but didn't win the race because he ran out of tires at the end. He stopped on the competition caution and put a set on a 20 when nobody else did. And then we had a caution with 30 to go, and he had to put scuffs on. So his race is over at that point. So I think a tire limit would be great, you know, to make a little play, you know, strategy play and change things up a little bit.
I will say from a fan's perspective, though, I watched all three races, and in my opinion, the truck and the Xfinity races blew the Cup race out of the water this weekend, just to be honest.
Hands down.
So.
Spot on to that comment.
Finally, agree on something. But agreed. All right. Johnny Sauter disqualified from the Atlanta truck race for altering tires. Brett, spot on, spot off.
Freddie told me yesterday at lunch, we went to Taco Mac to have lunch. We had a tremendous chicken Philly right before the race. And then we both bolted for the restroom as we arrived on property at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and we were questioning our lunch decision. But nonetheless, Freddie told me, so all I have for a source on this, Casey, is Freddie, which in and of itself is a problem.
That's scary.
But I was told that he failed the dunk test. Do you know what the dunk test is, Casey?
I do not.
It's when they put his tire on a pedestal and everybody throws a baseball at it. If you hit the little button, the tire falls into the water like you do at the state fair. The duck test is that they take this tire and they submerge it into water, and they're looking to see if air is coming out of this tire, because if your tire is slowly leaking air, it gives you a tremendous advantage because your tire doesn't blow up. The radius of your tire doesn't get bigger. It doesn't wear like a cool tire would wear, right? Or like the air pressure builds in this thing. So if he failed the dunk test because a crew guy stabbed his tire to make him, they call it bleeding the tires. There's all kind of ways to bleed the tire. You either pop a little bitty hole in the tire or you bleed the valve stem on the tire. But if he was truly cheating by doing this, which we thought an Xfinity Series winner a few years ago, who only has one win to his credit to today, we thought he was bleeding tires back then. If he's bleeding tires, I would suspend him for a month. Because that guy is a cheater. I don't like cheaters.
Casey, you know anything about bleeding tires? How many times does Chad talk about that?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like it's...
That's all they do.
Depends on the time of year.
I'm pretty sure dirt cars can run bleeders on their stuff.
Yeah, depends. Yeah, they can run. Yeah.
Chad's got them, like, on his phone, I think. He can adjust them while they're out there racing. I feel like he's got it on his phone.
There's an app for that. He can control the bleeder valve from his phone.
There's something called bleeders, and we talk.
There's two things you don't do in NASCAR. You don't mess with the fuel. Remember, Michael mm-hmm. Waltrip did that. And you don't mess with the tires, which means you don't soak them, you don't bleed them. Big time.
And you don't mess with the tungsten either, according to Dunny.
Yeah. I think the telling part of this was that NASCAR came out and said that it was not a situation where somebody ratted on the 13. So that means it was obviously a situation where somebody ratted on the 13 and knew they were doing this, because they randomly took the 17th place truck and disqualified it from 17th place. So they had some kind of idea this was going on, whether they knew
it. And did his teammate win the race?
Yeah, Enfinger won the race, yeah.
Wonder why they didn't duck his tires.
So according to him, they do it all the time. From like one, I didn't think that was true. I thought that was like a special. I listened to Brad Moran's little press conference there, teleconference, whatever you want to call it, and he says this happens all the time where they take tires and dunk them. I had no idea that was the case, but yeah, obviously something was going on there. Didn't have a huge advantage for him in the race. He wasn't very good, but maybe that's why they started trying to do something late. But got snagged. Like Brett said, it should be a pretty stiff penalty. They did announce that this is it. They just disqualified him from this race, and there was no further penalties. So, surprising to me. But, obviously, he got caught, and he got busted.
You'd look at, okay, it failed the dunk test, but how did it fail the dunk test? Was it not seated correctly on the wheel? That might be something different than, you know, okay, well, there's these little bubbles coming from this hole right here. Wonder how that hole got there. You know, and this isn't anything new. This is an old short track trick that people do. You know, most of the time it's at short tracks that this happens. we get a red flag in Martinsville, you look out there and you see somebody sitting there with four flat tires, you're like, oh, huh, something's going on there. You know, and that has happened before.
I feel like that happened. Maybe Vickers or somebody, like in the 55.
It was sitting there with flat tires. It definitely happened to Casey Mears one time with I think it was Jimmy. I don't know though. But I remember they were sitting there four flat tires.
Oh, you know, you're laughing about it. I don't know.
I don't remember. I
tweeted this last week. New drinking game for Door Bumper Clear. Every time TJ says I don't know, take a shot. You do know.
It might have been Vickers. I don't remember who it was. So
I think it's mostly a short track thing.
Yeah. It's like a short track trick. I don't mile and a half. I don't think because you run short track pressures on the left side so low already. If you look at, like, even when we roll off pit road, they look like they got flat tires already rolling off pit road. This isn't a new trick. So this is something that's been around for a long time.
You know what I like, Freddie?
Oh boy. That could be a lot of things, Brett.
Above everything else, I like the word easy. Give me the easiest way to do something and I'm happy.
Well, then let me tell you about the easiest way to buy or sell a home. It's with OfferPad.com. OfferPad is revolutionizing the home buying and selling process, and they make often complicated process extremely simple.
That's right. You tell OfferPad about your home by taking 5 minutes to complete the form. Then within 24 hours, you will have an offer in your inbox. Ding, you got mail. So easy.
It literally can't get any simpler than that. So go visit OfferPad.com and get the process started today.
If you do sell your home with OfferPad, be sure to send us a screenshot and we'll send you an OfferPad Door Bumper Clear t-shirt.
Kyle Busch tells NASCAR, F you, you suck, Tower, after being arrested for speeding twice in the truck race. Oh, Freddie.
Wasn't there a tweet that posted his pit road speeds?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Steve O'Donnell tweeted out a picture of the pit road speeds and there was two red blocks on Kyle's.
So, for one, what in the hell is up with Kyle Busch? This guy, he must have been pit practicing with Denny Hamlin for the last month because I swear to God, he's gotten a speeding penalty every race, truck, Xfinity, Cup, whatever it is. It seems like he's getting a penalty for every race. But, I mean, God, you can't let – I mean, how stupid does NASCAR look not doing anything to this guy after he says this to them? Like, how – I mean, just make yourself look weak. Like, it almost looks like he can say whatever the hell he wants.
TJ?
I mean, spot off. You committed the penalty. You know, it happens every time we have every time there's pit stops, somebody speeds and they get the same penalty. You know, it's don't speed. Spot off. You did it. So you go to the back.
I think that at that point in time, he's a competitor. I think if he had a podcast like we have and he wants to get on there and scream and have a rant, at that point, he kind of is a media member. But at that point in time, he's a competitor and he's saying F you to the sanctioning body on a platform where a lot of people can hear it and it becomes public knowledge. I would find the ever living out of his little rich ass. And yeah, that'd be it. He wouldn't do that again. You know, you look at Kevin Harvick, right? Kevin Harvick is one of the craziest, most radical guys ever.
Mute.
Kevin Harvick stayed in trouble. And eventually, Kevin Harvick realized, man, this is getting really expensive. I'm going to stop. And Kevin Harvick now stays completely out of the way on controversial stuff. He is a well-behaved race car driver. And Kyle Busch should be a well-behaved race car driver. He's being smart. I would bust his ass over this.
Bubba,
y'all check the picture
them.
I sent. I put a picture in the GroupMe thing if you want to look at it.
Bubba called the NASCAR officials Muppets after a race because it was Muppets. And he posted a picture of the damn Muppets and got fined and had to sit in the control tower for the race the next day. This guy says, you suck, Tower, and nothing happens. So, I mean, maybe something's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's penalty day. Maybe something's going to come out. But, I mean, how could – one guy calls you a Muppet, and you get mad and fine him, and this guy says this, and nothing so far. So, I mean, I don't know. A little consistency would be nice.
So, I sent the picture. There is, like, five, six trucks on here that all have penalties.
And they're all it's kind of cool, the picture, because it blocks out in red who speeds. You can, it's real easy to see. And it's just, I mean, it's plain as day. You sped. Don't speed. Brett's opening a beer.
That was not a beer I just opened, by the way. No, that's dog food. It's dog food, I swear. Look, I'm showing you guys on here. Oh, it smells horrible. Here, buddy, get away from me. I'm going to vomit.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you eating?
I'm going to vomit.
You hungry? You hungry?
Hangry.
Spot on, spot off. NASCAR reportedly adding a minimum attendance clause of 70% to track agreements. TJ.
Spot on. To me, this is they're pushing tracks to make sure they sell tickets and to make the tickets affordable, or they could take the races somewhere else. But that's just what I would think that this means, is just trying to get people there, trying to make the tracks do the, you know, the All-Star race to me should be free every year. The All-Star race should be free, but it led into the 600.
Literally free.
Yeah, to me, what led into, normally it led into the 600, but if you came for the All-Star, maybe if you did come to the All-Star race, maybe you get a 10% coupon or something too.
Never said 10% coupon and free now. What are we getting?
No, I mean, the All-Star race is free, but if you come to the All-Star race, you get a voucher for a 10% off for buying tickets to the 600. You know what I mean? So you're coming back. Because if you come to the racetrack, you're probably going to buy a drink. You're probably going to buy a hot dog. You're probably going to, you know, get a Philly cheesesteak or something in there. And
be careful.
But, you know, if you come to the racetrack, your kid's going to want a hat. You're going to want, you know, a turkey leg, something. So get people there.
Have you ever ate a turkey leg?
I have not. They look like dinosaur legs when I see people hold them, though. They're gigantic. I've never seen turkeys that big.
I've never ate one either. I've always wanted to just carry one around because you kind of look like a badass, just carrying that big. I look like Fred Flintstone.
You look like a straight-up caveman carrying that thing around. Like, you should have a club in one hand and turkey leg in the other hand. They're gigantic.
There's no, like, right way of eating it, too. Like, every time you eat it, you look like a mess. Yeah, like,
you look like, yeah, you're a savage. You're like, I mean, it's gigantic.
I've got a beard, and I'm going to tell you what, when you got a beard, everything you eat, you make a mess. Who knew that you got food? Anyway, back to your thing. Casey, are we seriously going to say that you have to have 70% attendance? Like, could you imagine right now in a freaking pandemic saying, okay, the stands are open. Let's go back to the races. Everybody, tickets are for sale. We got 200,000 seats. We got to sell 140,000 of them or we're going to get in trouble.
I don't see them doing it this year. I think if they're trying to get at, like, going to the tracks where, you know, we're not going to have a race. Like, as they evaluate the 2021 schedule, they're not going to go to a track where they never sell out. They struggle with ticket sales. Like, different markets are going to struggle just because they're not necessarily NASCAR markets.
I tell you what, we could have took all the cars yesterday and put them in the stands and had a sellout. There were 27,000 cars on property at Atlanta Motor Speedway. When I drove up, Freddie kept talking about all these cars everywhere, and I didn't really know what he was getting at. When I rolled up on the track, holy cow at the cars.
Let me ask you guys this, and this is kind of for Casey and Brett. Like, how easily can this be fudged? I mean, can you just start giving away blocks of tickets?
So that was going to be my question, is they do offer a lot of comp tickets to things like schools. Like, they do a lot of, you know, donations to charities and even sponsors comp tickets. So I don't know what, if it includes all of that, because I will tell you, you know, for truck and Xfinity too, like, I'm assuming this has to be just cup, right? Like, this, there's no way that it would be, but
I don't think it'll be implemented for a while, like, yeah, a little while still, because it's going to take some time to get them people.
Yeah.
But what this really comes down to is the revenue model. The track is making, let's just say, 85% of its money off of TV. So if no fans show up, the track is still a profit center. And why is it that way? Well, guess who owns a lot of tracks? NASCAR does, right? So when you look at the track partners, it's NASCAR, it's SMI, and then there's a couple independents that are still out there. And when you look at the team model, we only can show up to race competitively with sponsorship. The TV money doesn't, let me rephrase that. Some TV money is funneled to the teams, but it's like 25% and then it's split 40 ways. So that's, it ends up not being a lot of money. And then you look at the way the tracks make all their money, guess what? It's off of freaking TV. So the track promoter doesn't live or die off of selling tickets like Humpy Wheeler used to do back in the day, like Eddie Gossage used to do back in the day. So I'm not saying they're not working hard, but man, I am literally at Charlotte Motor Speedway, at Twin Peaks, you know, want to watch a race on TV, and they don't even have it on, and it's less than a mile from there to the racetrack. Like, when we go to places and you walk in and they're going, hey, what are you guys here for? Well, we work in NASCAR. Oh, the race is in town? If bars and restaurants don't know that we're coming, then that means the track promoter did a terrible job in his community of buying radio ads, buying billboards. Everybody's depending on social because it's, quote, free. You know, you got to hire a kid out of college and let him go tweet and do Instagrams. You know, guys like Jason Schultz, which is awesome because it's a real thing. But we're not doing enough to promote our sport from an advertising perspective in these markets. I mean, you tell me this weekend, which this weekend isn't fair because fans can't come. But when we can go back racing, you three take pictures of billboards that says the race is in town. Tell me how many you see. Tell me how many times you hear it on the radio. We're not doing enough to advertise our sport.
Yeah, I mean, just to your point about, you know, the owners not needing the fans, did you see those numbers from the Nashville deal? Which the Nashville deal is way longer than I expected. I didn't realize we were going to be locking in contracts in
4 years.
4 years. But, I mean, the revenue sharing was ridiculous. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was like $7 or $8 million for the sanctioning fees, and then the revenue sharing was going to be $10-11 million more than that. You know, so that's where they're making their money. You know, ticket sales is gravy to them, but obviously, I knew that they were making money. I did not realize that they were making double. You know,
did you see where they're getting $500,000 increase every year? Not only are they making money from the jump, but every year they're getting $400,000-$500,000 more revenue when we don't know, A, how many people are going to show up there, B, what the TV audience is going to look like. Like, man, give me a freaking spotter deal where I can get that kind of pay increase every year.
Yeah, I don't think everything's so based on TV nowadays, in my opinion, which is great. But I don't feel like we do enough concerts and stuff like after the race, you know, like.
So now you want to be in the concert business, not the racing business.
I'm just saying like events to bring more than one event there. You know
more
what I mean?
More of an experience.
Like, yeah, like something you can, you know, a little bit shorter race followed by where were we? Leaving, it was Indy. We were leaving Indy, and there was tons of people there already, but walking in because of the concert after the race. You remember that?
Yeah, it's after Xfinity race. They'll have like Florida Georgia Line or somebody there, Nelly,
yeah,
whatever.
But I mean,
right?
Why not have something like that? Where okay, fans, we're going to do victory lane on the front stretch. As soon as we move that, we're going to set up the stage as the driver's doing his interview. Once we get that stage set up, and you know, we're going to open the fence. We're going to put a barricade, you know, stage or whatever, so you can't cross the deal there. And we're going to open it up, and you guys come down and enjoy a concert afterwards, too, for a couple hours. You know, just, I don't know, just promoters. There's a lot of really good promoters out there, and, you know, I think it'd be cool if they had that. Yeah, just they got a lot of great ideas, and it'd be cool to see what they can come up with.
I think three things sell tickets. I think number one, TJ's right, the experience, right? And that's what NASCAR's always been built around. 3-4 day weekends, the party, the family, all kinds about just man, being at the racetrack, right? It's fun. But we're not gonna see that anymore, I don't think, post pandemic. I think we're gonna see condensed schedules like we've been seeing, right? So that's a big thing. Number two, what you put on the track. But here's the most important part. Number three, the personalities. I showed up as a kid to watch David Pearson, to watch Dale Earnhardt. And we have to have big personalities. We have to have people gravitate to our sport because of the drivers and the people. We got to have the people in place.
Let's see what's coming up this week on the Dale Jr. Download.
This week on the Dale Jr. Download, it's late model drama and a lot of other things Dale Jr. wants to talk about in the world of racing. Listen to the Dale Jr. Download on all major podcasting platforms and watch the TV show on NBC Sports Network.
Time to hit the gas and take our Xfinity speed from the track to the studio. Let's jump into our weekly Xfinity Fast Lane segment, where each person will have 10 seconds to answer 6 questions.
Brett, that's 10.
Got it?
10
I doubt
seconds.
It.
Question number one. After a third lackluster intermediate track race since racing returned, do you think NASCAR should begin considering an intermediate aero package change for 2021? Brett.
I want more horsepower. I don't know why the OEMs aren't sided with me on this thing. I know it's cheaper to build a 500 horsepower motor, but I want more horsepower. 1,000 horsepower. How'd I do, TJ?
TJ.
I think so. I think we need something to make these guys drive these cars a little harder. Just make them more of a handful. I know they got their hands full now moving around. You're fighting air most of the time. Let's make them handle, you know, let's make them not handle good.
I'm in the minority. I didn't think yesterday's race was that bad as far as, I just thought it was too long. But slipping and sliding tire wear, you seen like Truex and Harvick down at the end there. Just obviously need a package to make them, the tires wear out and the car's harder to drive. But I didn't think yesterday's race was that bad.
You drank more than I thought you did Saturday night.
Your turn is done. After Martinsville, the next 9 races will take place at tracks 1.5 miles in length and longer. Should NASCAR have built more variety into an updated 2020 schedule? Freddie.
You'd probably like to see more diversity, but I think they're kind of in a box. They didn't really have an option here. You know what I mean? It's kind of a fluid situation, and you had to take what states you can go to at whatever times you can go to them, just the way it laid out this year.
Brett?
We keep saying we want more short tracks, and we just added 1.5 miles to next year's schedule. NASCAR's in a box right now. We can't be critical of where we're racing and when we're racing and how many times we're racing. You know, we're seeing doubleheaders in Xfinity Series at places like Miami, places like Kentucky. We got to make races up, people.
TJ?
Yeah, I think their hands were tied for this year. And especially with this pandemic, you had to go to events that were going to be closed and accessible. But I think the door's open next year. So let's see what happens.
10 years ago this weekend, Joey Logano famously said Kevin Harvick's wife wears the fire suit in the family and tells him what to do after being turned by Harvick at Pocono. What's your all-time favorite angry driver quote, TJ?
Ah, man, it's really hard to beat about 30 of Kurt Busch's quotes. He's got so many good ones. It's really, I think
none of them you can say on this show.
I think when the crew chief asking Crazy to look at the right side damage when Kurt's on the backstretch at Loudon the one time, and Kurt just crew chief goes, "Okay, Crazy, how's the damage?" And he's like, "I can't see the right side from here right now." And the Kurt just keys up and he's like, "I'm on the back straightaway, Einstein." Like there's a lot of good ones from Kurt.
Ready. I don't know that it wasn't angry, obviously, but I think the best quote ever was old Tony in that press conference with Carl telling him he'd wreck his mom to win the championship. That's going to be one of my favorite quotes forever.
Brett.
Kurt was the only guy to ever say he's got to be the only athlete in American history. And I realize, thank God, this is an adult podcast. We don't have a lot of kids listening. He literally said the words premature ejaculation one time in an interview. Like, who even uses that word in normal conversation, much less an interview? Like, what an idiot. What is he thinking?
One of the ones that made me laugh that really wasn't an angry comment was when it was one of Dale Jr.'s better ones. When Greg Ives asked him if the track bar, when they put the adjusters in there, if the track bar was helping him, and just out of nowhere, Dale Jr., he goes, "I don't know. Let me ask it." Keys up and goes, "Track bar, are you helping me?" and that was, I think I quit spotting for 1.5 laughs because I was laughing.
We all know what the best interview was in NASCAR history. It was Jack the guy Hewitt that said, "You can kiss my do funny" in the middle of his interview. Like that guy had the best quotes.
That wasn't NASCAR, though.
But I don't care. No. It's still the best.
But that was.
Yeah.
It was modified, right?
Jack Hewitt. No, Jack Hewitt. Sprint cars.
Dude, yeah. Google Jack Hewitt. That is the funniest interview ever.
If you haven't seen it, you're missing out.
That's the best
mad driver quote in history.
He is mad.
Real mad.
He's definitely mad.
AJ Foyt's got some good ones, too.
He didn't hold back
much. He slapped the out of somebody in victory lane. Who was that? I think it was Texas. Like Ari Lindyke or somebody.
It was. Yeah.
And AJ's fingers look like they're about 10 inches in diameter. You know what I mean? I don't want to piss that guy off.
Nah.
Last year's Fall Martinsville race was described as one of the worst I've ever seen by Fall Martinsville standards by Jeff Gluck. How do you expect Wednesday night's race to be different given the new short track aero package? Brett.
Oh, man, I hope a lot better. You know, obviously we're used to Martinsville being a place where we see bump and bang and tire wear, lead changes. And this is one of the races where Keselowski, I think, went out and led essentially the whole race. So we have to have a good short track product. We need tippers flaring. And, man, we've seen a lot of good racing since we've come back to the racetrack. And this is a huge opportunity to do that again this weekend.
Did you not hear the ding?
No.
I didn't hear the ding either. I haven't heard it all show.
Can you see this?
I heard it.
Does that show up on your screen?
All right, who's next?
You are.
TJ.
You know, we called for changes last year. They made some changes. I noticed it at Bristol. Guys were fighting loose on entry. If you get close to somebody, you kind of see them catch the car a little bit. I don't know if you're going to have quite that effect at Martinsville, but with no practice and everything, I expect it to be a pretty good race.
And a random draw-ish.
I seen a guy get loose into three at Bristol last lap or so. It's like five to go. I seen him get loose.
I also seen a guy get wrecked into three.
Obviously, you're hoping the package helps. I think it will. Be interesting to see how the track is at night. Cooler temperatures, obviously. So we'll see. But hopefully, this package helps. I think it should.
Homestead Miami will host a race that's not the season finale for the first time since 2001 on Sunday. Will the race play out any differently now that it's not the race for the championship? Freddie.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is the four chase cars won't be the fastest cars on the property. For some reason, that seemed to work out like that every year when we ran to Homestead. But race will be the same.
Why is that?
It's weird how that works. Race will be the same. We'll be ripping the top by the end of it probably. But, you know, it'll just be nice to open the field up to everybody this time.
Brett.
I don't understand this question. It's still a race at Homestead. It's still a race. Like, the fastest cars are going to go up there and they're going to run up front and we're going to rip the top and it's Homestead. It doesn't matter if it's the last race or not. It's the same racetrack.
TJ?
It's a multi-groove racetrack with tire wear. I'll take it any day of the week.
Going to miss Kyle Larson this week.
Off the wall question. A West Virginia woman faked her disappearance by pretending she plummeted off an overlook to keep her out of having to go to prison. What's your go-to excuse when trying to get out of doing something you don't want to do? TJ.
Shoot, man. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good one. Here you go. Take a drink, because I don't know. I don't have excuses, man. If you don't, you shouldn't need excuses.
Babysitting.
Babysitting. Yeah. I am not telling you what my greatest excuse is because then I will not be able to use it anymore. So get lost. I'm not telling you.
I'm sure your wife knows.
Sure everybody knows.
I have a terrible stomach. I have irritable bowel syndrome. So anytime that I have to have an excuse, I have to say I got a
So if you run into Brett in the streets and he tells you he's got a poop.
What's yours, Casey?
I don't know. I don't really have one.
Is your stomach upset?
No.
You can say you got to pee.
I'm tired. That's my excuse. I'm tired.
Can you drink caffeine when you're pregnant?
I can only have a cup a day.
A cup of caffeine? That sounds like a lot.
A cup of coffee a day, meaning. Sorry. So I only have coffee because I have to drink 20 million gallons.
What do you put in your coffee?
Two Splendas and a little bit of cream.
Splendas are bad for you, right?
Yeah, I know, but that's why she does
gotta
it.
Give a little, take a little. Can only do so much. I need to function. But my excuse is that I'm tired all the time.
So you don't, you're trying to do low carbs on your pregnancy thing? Is that why you're doing Splenda instead of sugar?
No, it just...
Oh, you're already sweet enough. You don't need the sugar.
Splenda is healthier than regular sugar, I think. I don't know. I got nothing.
So now you're a nutritionist.
No, I'm not.
Casey just said, I don't know. Can't say that, Casey.
Take a drink.
So now you think a man-made substance is better than something that comes from nature.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know where it came from. I just know that a lot of people use it, so I'm a follower. I'm not a leader.
So you're you're a follower.
I'm a follower. It's fine. I'm a follower. Yep, that's me.
Oh, that was fast. We're already at the end of the show. Man, that went by way too quickly.
You know what else is blazing fast out there?
It's got to be Xfinity Internet.
You know it.
Get reliably fast speeds for all your streaming needs. Shout out to Xfinity, the premier partner of NASCAR and the best podcast in motorsports. Door bumper clear.
And make sure you're following at Xfinity Racing on Twitter to keep you connected with behind-the-scenes NASCAR content you don't get anywhere else.
Ask DBC. Send in your questions 24/7 on Twitter using the hashtag AskDBC.
Ask DBC.
J. McCain.
John McCain? We got John McCain sending questions in.
I was just about to say that.
Damn.
Hey, I'll be right back. I got
I knew everybody listened to this show.
This first question is from J. McCain 1M. With no practice, are the setups between teammates that much different? Or does a small difference create that much difference in tire wear? Between, this is for really between the 4 and the 14. So how about you, Brett?
Kevin had a lot different setup. I actually was talking with some guys on the plane about it. I don't get involved in that aspect of the sport as a spotter, but you certainly ask questions after the race. I mean, I was the only car potentially in the field having as much right rear issues as we did. You know, I heard Truex blistered a right rear tire on one of his longer runs, but the four car setup was different. Was our setup fast? Hell yeah, man. We ran top three in stage one. We led a lot of laps. Then we obviously started having issues, and man, we didn't know if we were going to have issues on lap 35 or lap 50. So it was really tough to manage. But yes, with no practice, no qualifying, these guys can go in there and look, if you're Kevin Harvick, obviously, he's good at Atlanta, but he can take chances. He's already won a race. If you're Joey Logano, you can step out of the box and try some new things, because what you're working toward at this point in your season is really only two things. You want playoff points, which you get by winning stages and winning races, and you want to go out there and try to win the race and run good in the chase. And or in the playoff now. We don't have a chase anymore. But if you're Joey Logano, you can go take chances, man. So, yeah, setups are certainly different amongst teammates.
I'm surprised you didn't say that the teammates are all the same, because the only guys your teammates are the ones wearing the same shirt as you. So obviously,
well, that's this loose term these idiots made up about our sport. Our alliance partner, Kevin Harvick. Let me rephrase it and call him that.
Yeah, I don't. Every driver drives different too, though. You can take a Kevin Harvick setup and put it in Clint's car. If it's not Clint's driving style, it's not going to work that well. You know, I think the only one where you could probably really get close on and be similar is a plate race. But other than that, you can't take a certain driver, because he knows the little tricks that he's doing. He knows the feel that he's looking for already for that setup. So you can't really just take a setup and guarantee that it's going to work. Clint might be able to run top five with Kevin's setup, but Kevin's going to win with it. You know what I mean? So Clint has to adjust it to Clint's field, what he wants. So even teammates, I mean, every driver is different. They're not all the same.
My favorite part as just a person in the sport is when you hear crew chiefs, engineers talking to drivers, and the driver will say, is my car like Joey Logano's? And the crew chief engineer say, well, it's the same except for okay, Brainiac, that's not the same.
Yeah. Oh, that guy led 400 and something laps. We're gonna go back with his setup, but we're gonna make it a little bit better.
So we're gonna make it better. Watch this. Hold my beer.
Oh, by the way, he's checked out lead. We're 12.
As well, that every crew chief has their own ideas and likes to do the certain things a certain way, which is, I mean, that's what makes the sport great, though. Everyone has their own ideas.
Next question is from Cody Allison _14 and refers to the teammates wrecking each other that happened yesterday. If you were a car owner, what direction would you give your drivers when racing each other? if they wrecked each other, how would you handle it? And does it change the way you feel if it's for the lead versus for 20th?
Brett, this should be a question for the Dale Jr. download.
This is a better question for Dale Jr. I agree. Like, go ask Dale Jr. what he did when his two cars wrecked each other. Robert Yates said one thing. Robert Yates had one thing that he always told us. I want you guys to race each other hard. I just don't want you to screw each other over. And Dale Jarrett, who was one of the nicest people in the sport, he mentored me, helped me a lot. We owned a business together for years. He would always tell Elliot at the end of the race, hey, you know, he would have a spotter, Bob Jeffrey, come tell me to tell Elliot to do what he's got to do for himself. Don't worry about me. Don't screw himself trying to help me. This just goes to prove, you know, that when you're out there, you're not teammates. You're not riding in the same car. You're riding in two separate cars racing one another. But, man, if I'm Joe Gibbs, like yesterday, it looked like it was a Joe Gibbs show plus Kevin Harvick, the Joe Gibbs show plus Clint Bowyer at one point. Like, if I'm Joe Gibbs, I'm thinking, sitting on my couch, I don't know if he's allowed to be at a racetrack yet, even though he owns a bunch of cars. Like, do whatever you got to do to get these guys out of here. You know what I mean? That way I know for sure one of my cars is going to win. But, I mean, I don't know what Freddie and TJ think about this comment that I'm about to make, but it seems like a lot of the great race car drivers are selfish people and only care about themselves when they're in the race car. I'm not saying they're like that out of the race car, but, like, I don't know that you can worry about other people and then go out there and kick their tails. Like, I like the approach that Ross Chastain has said, I bring my friends with me to the racetrack, which is insinuating he's not trying to make friends out there. Carl Edwards was that way. Like, I think Elliot, if he has one regret in racing Elliot Sadler, it's that, you know, he's been retired for a couple of years and his phone isn't ringing off the hook from guys he raced against. And his texts aren't coming in off the hook against guys he raced against. I bet if he had a do-over, because we've talked about this a little bit, he'd have probably raced those guys a little bit harder. Because if you worry about what people think about you, you probably can't go out there and leave it all on the track. And I think that's what makes NASCAR special.
So now you're just saying what I said that you got Elliot all mad at me for a couple years ago. That's what you got, remember?
Did you forget about that? Take a drink.
You want to be a good teammate, but you can't. You have to look out for yourself. You're racing. You're paid to look out for yourself. You're paid to win races, but, like, you race hard. But at the end of the day, if a situation comes up where you don't want to destroy each other, you never want to take each other out, that's when it gets bad. But I have zero issues with racing hard. But you also want to look at things like, you don't want to race each other so hard that for the lead that third place blows by both of you and wins the race. That's when you need to be smarter about situations like that. But look, man, Elliot Sadler, I've raced a handful. He's gotten really good at online at iRacing stuff. He's one of the funniest and nicest guys you'll come across in the racing industry. If you know Elliot and Elliot's there, you're going to laugh. Elliot's a guaranteed funny time. Brett knows it. Brett knows him well, better than anybody here. Elliot is a hilarious guy, man. And he's very good on the racetrack, too. He was, you know, Elliot's won a lot of, like, plate races and stuff because Elliot knows how to do it. But you have to look out for yourself at some place. You have to put yourself in position to win them races. And certain guys, you know how to do that. You don't, but you want to be a good teammate as well. If you can help, that's why, you know, if you're leading the race and you got a couple guys of your teammates in the top lane, you want to try to help the top lane as much as you can to get them up to you. Because you want the company to succeed as well. And if you can finish 1, 2, 3 in your company, 1, 2, 3, 4, you want to try to make that happen.
I think a guy that sticks out a lot with this and just watching from my, you know, outside perspective, I'm sure Brett's going to be able to chime in on this, is Kevin Harvick. Like, Kevin Harvick races like he's a lone wolf out there. You know what I mean? I've seen numerous times he could put Clint in a bad spot or one of the other Stewart Haas cars. Yeah. I mean, we watched – Clint was up side by side with us at Charlotte a couple weeks ago, and I thought, you know, Harvick had a little bit of run on us, and I thought he was going to just push Clint by us. And then, you know, he would go by us probably the next lap. Well, he split us three wide and went by both of us in one shot. And I kind of surprised me. But like you said, it's that killer instinct, man. You're out there to win races. You're not out there to help somebody else win a race. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. When the time's right, you know, if you're lined up behind a teammate on a restart, obviously you're going to push the hell out of them. You know, you're going to help when you can. But first and foremost, you're going to try to win yourself the race.
I wish Pops was on here right now, Clint's dad. Because I like to get Pops right up. You know, he would be – TJ, you think we should get him on the show?
I think any show he goes on would be pretty funny.
Yeah, Jason would have to have the beep button ready for just
Casey. Yeah. Do you know Clint's dad?
Let me tell you. Oh my god!
What?
Do you know Clint's dad, Pops?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, he's the fun. He's one of my favorite humans on Earth.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get Clint and his dad on the show.
He's one of the funniest people to ever between 2 feet. He makes me laugh my ass off. Like, he's the best.
He is. He is pretty funny.
Well,
I mean, Brett always gets to work with the funniest people there is. Because Elliot,
thank goodness,
Elliot's hilarious. Clint, obviously, Clint's probably clown. If you're gonna go party with somebody, Clint's the guy, man, for sure.
Yeah.
And Pops, if Pops is there, it's just a cherry on top, because you can get Pops rolling about something. It's his remarks, man. Oh my god,
no, he's the best. I was exchanging some messages yesterday after the race with Cole Pern, who made fun of something that Larry McReynolds said during the podcast or during the broadcast. I think Cole Pern would be fun on his show too, because if we get him on here unfiltered, like, he could bring a lot.
All right, well, make it happen.
If he's got so much to say, why don't they have him come in and do a broadcast?
Well, I think everybody listening needs to tweet Cole Pern and say, hey, come do Door Bumper Clear, because he probably thinks we're a small podcast. He probably doesn't realize how big we are, you know?
Millions, yeah. Millions of people listening.
Millions. Hey,
even in Canada, Cole.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Oh, all right, TJ, I have an Ask DBC question for you. Are you spotting for Dale this weekend in the next Xfinity
race? I don't know.
You don't know.
Oh my god, we got a drink too. We're already out of booze.
That's two drinks in a row right there.
Signs say yes. So I should be there.
Is he going to bite you like old times?
He better not, because I'll just turn my radio off.
Which one is
there
he?
There ain't no consequences now.
Which one is he running?
Can't fire me.
Is he running Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. So pending no travel hiccups there, I should be there. But I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I should be there.
There's another drink. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make everybody have a good night's
sleep.
Finish
so strong off.
So social at this point.
Anything we want to rant about as we head to Martinsville and Homestead?
I have a rant.
Yes.
So, at Atlanta, you have a lot of lap cars most of the time because the field gets so spread out. And if you have a couple long runs, there's 15 lap cars between, or, you know, maybe realistically about 8 to 12 lap cars between, you know, the top 6-7 cars, maybe probably more than that, really. But you're trying to, you know, to help these guys out coming to pit road. You always have the cars that are lap down that just don't catch up when pit road's open, and they're 10 car lengths off the guy in front of you. And it's aggravating because, you know, you always get on there and, oh, he's talking. Well, I had a guy lay back, and you're supposed to be caught up, first of all.
Was it the 15 by chance?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the 15's who got me. Exactly what you're talking about. The 15 was not closed up.
It might have been the same car. But I go down there, I'm like, hey, you know, can you try to have your driver catch up under caution? We're trying to pit with the cars running the same lap as, you know, I would catch my guy up for you if you were pitting. You know, I'm not going to try to cost you 10 car lengths coming to pit road. And I'm not – the driver probably isn't fully aware of what's going on. That's where the spotter can come in and help. They, hey, catch up. Even pull onto the outside of the guy in front of you a little bit so they can get caught up. You know, that's what a lot of a lot of the guys that – know what they're doing, try to help each other out coming to pit road. You're not racing that guy, so help him out. So I go down there, I'm like, hey, can you just try to, you know, have your guy catch up, because we're losing a lot of ground right here. And I just basically get the get the heck out of here look, like, you know, go, you know, get out, like, not even, yeah, no, we should have caught up more, hey, I'll talk to him next time. Nothing. It was I don't even want to be here. You know, this sucks. I'm not doing anything. Get out of here. Type response to that. And if you don't want to help your driver or help in that situation, then, you know, why be up there? If you're there to help. So help, you know, it's nothing to get mad over. It's just, hey, he was talking, or yeah, I didn't see it. No problem. Just try to help next time. It's not that I'm mad at you for doing it. I'm just trying, you know, just reminding you to help your driver if you can in that situation. But when you
get this a new spotter or old spotter?
this guy's been around for a while. So, but you get on there and you just get like, you don't get any type of if you're so angry to be out there doing that. And I realize that car, you know, riding around with them cars there in that situation probably aren't the most fun, but you know, there's other, your day is going to come when you're in a position where you'd like a little bit of help like that. And then to have somebody just not care, if you don't care, then don't do it.
It's harder to spot for a very slow
hard.
Car
very hard
than it is a fast car.
100%.
And there's a reason for that. The car isn't as good, and the drivers look, that guy in a 00 don't even know what track he's at. He has no idea. There's a corner coming. He has no idea what lane he's going to try to run. He is, I'm telling you, like Michael Waltrip's commercial, I'm at the wrong track. This dude don't even know he's at a track. Right. But to your point, if you learn how to be a really good spotter for a bad car, when you get an opportunity, like Freddie got. Freddie's really good at spotting for bad cars. He did it for years. Look at him. We put him with a good car. What did he do? His freaking second or third race out with this guy, he goes and wins the freaking race. So, yes, TJ, you're right. These guys need to you gotta stay up. Like, Clint's a freaking veteran. He's won races. He's an Xfinity Series champion. I have to stay on his butt about small things, and that's my job. So if you're a spotter, I don't care if you're doing a bad car for $200 a week or if you're doing a good car making six figures a year, do your job.
Yeah, I mean, that's – talk about me, you know, me doing the, you know, some of the Johnny Davis stuff. Obviously, we find ourselves laps down every race. And – the pit road's open, stay closed up, stay closed up. You know, that means just pull up to the top of the racetrack and stay closed up to the car in front of you. And I say it every restart, you know, you, Garrett, and even Bubba last year, you know, we were laps down a bunch. You know, that's every caution flag, pit road's open, stay closed up. You know, it's just a reminder to them every time. But to your point about the 00, he got warned warned again yesterday about, you know, I don't even know if it was minimum speed or just being in the way. You know, I heard first time I've ever heard them say like, "Hey, spotter, let your driver know what the hell's going on." Like, so I didn't see what was going on, but obviously,
oh, they said that yesterday.
Oh yeah, minimum right on the radio.
Speed, they were telling him to remind him to keep with minimum speed.
Yeah, so they were. Good thing they don't have Landon Castle driving that thing anymore. That wouldn't have went well. Jeez. Money don't pay to. I don't know. I'm not.
Well, I saw. It's funny. I saw Noah Gragson. I think he tweeted something about, you know, I'm a free agent next year and all this stuff. And I'm like, let me tell you what it's like to be a real free agent. I'm a free agent next year too. And my dad don't have a real estate company with gazillion dollars coming into me. So some of these kids, man, they need a gut check. You know, Noah's obviously a talented race car driver, went out and won a race. But a guy like that 00, he comes in and buys a ride, sends Landon Castle packing, which is fine. And then he's torn up over $1 million worth of equipment in the first few races. Hey, that might have been a bad business decision for you
guys.
Hey,
did you see the guy that tweeted you and said he
– Probably not. I guess. Probably blocked.
He saw a chance he's blocked.
It was he said something about the driver of that car had where their company is, and he said he got behind one of their trucks on the road and the thing was doing like 30 mile an hour the whole way, and it was pretty good.
So we've been tearing this guy apart, and I'll give him props. I don't remember hearing Joey Gase's name at all yesterday, so I'll give him credit. He made it through a whole race without spinning out,
all
wrecking
the fives,
nobody.
Man, all those cars start with a five. Great job at Atlanta.
I got to give the seven credit yesterday. Him and the 00 were the two that I just couldn't figure out what they were doing.
Well, the 00, you don't know where he's going. The seven just always there on exit when you need that extra car lane.
Who is the seven? Who was that yesterday?
I think that was Balicki.
Who?
Yep.
I don't even know.
Oh, that guy was hot after the race too, I saw. Maybe that's what was wrong with him. He's too hot.
Yeah. Yeah, the seven's always there outside. You know, your guy's like, "Oh, it's a seven. I'm coming up." Nope, still there, still there, still there. Stop. Yeah, like quit. Yeah, no, that seven needed that car length, but whatever. It's his race too. We all deal with it. Same for everybody.
DBC picks.
Casey's mad. Look at her. She's doing emails.
No, I'm not. I was looking at the script to see who goes first.
Hey, who won this week?
Woo-hoo! Freddie.
By picking Kevin Harvick, and now it's 6-3-1 with Brett leading over Freddie and TJ in last.
My guy was doomed from the beginning.
Pass-through penalty on the start of the race.
I mean, what? Really? Who do I want to screw this week?
It's pick Clint so we don't got to listen to Brett.
Yep, that's what I'm doing. I'm picking Clint Bowyer. We got to pick twice, Clint. Don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bowyer.
You have Miami after.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm picking Clint.
All right, Brett, who you got?
At Martinsville? I'm in the red, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all your good guys are gone. Yeah. You might as well take Quinn Huff.
I have a guy left by the name of Denny Hamlin. Guess who I'm taking to Martinsville? TJ's favorite, Denny Hamlin.
That's going to come back to haunt you.
Freddie?
Huh. I don't know who the hell I want to pick.
Sound like TJ.
That's a drink.
I'm going to take guy I won with here twice. I'll take old Bubba Wallace.
All right.
If you win with that pick, oh, I'll kiss everybody's ass in Martinsville.
Bend over, baby.
Light them up.
All right, now all Miami right. picks. TJ.
Man, I got to roll with this is good. This is going to sound really crazy, man, but I'm going with Jimmy Johnson.
Woo, Jimmy Jam. I am going to go with a two-time Xfinity Series champion who is a rookie in the NASCAR Cup Series. My guy who likes to ride the rim, Tyler the Ram Reddick.
That's a good one.
I like that pick.
I was gonna pick him, but
how
I
about his new nickname,
him.
The Ram? Does that sound the good? Ram.
It's kind of sad because we're going to Miami and you guys can't pick Larson, and Larson is always picked at this race.
Hey, Larson always knocks the right side off his car. He rarely finishes good at Miami. He runs good down there.
Yeah.
But he's running World of Outlaws, so
you know what?
We'll catch him in 2021.
You know why I was going to be against Tyler there? It's because I know Tyler likes to hit the fence there, and that old Xfinity body snaps out a lot better than the Cup body.
Yeah, I know. Them Xfinity bodies are tough, man. That
hey,
Cup
I'll
body,
tell you, man,
you hit it, and it's done.
Tyler did good. He was actually very good in the beginning of the race yesterday. He was noticeably good again. So good for Tyler.
Freddie, who you got?
I don't know.
Take a drink.
I'll take Bowman.
Bowman is a solid pick.
Bowman wasn't as good yesterday as I thought he would be either. I thought he'd be better. At Atlanta.
Well, good luck over the next two races.
Casey, what we need this week is good forecast for Wednesday, because it is 50 to 60% chance of rain on Wednesday. We don't need a hiccup in the schedule. We need to go to Martinsville, be able to run a cool race there. It's a night race, obviously, being that it's a midweek race. I love midweek races.
Love them.
Me too.
But we need good weather.
I think this is a golden opportunity for NASCAR on Wednesday nights right here. Short track at Martinsville under the lights. We need good weather for it for sure. So
everybody watch.
This could be a home run. Short track, new package. Hopefully the guys got to drive it a little bit. You know, hopefully there's some bumping and banging, and we really get the audience's viewing locked in to NASCAR on it, because it's going to be a golden opportunity.
Perfect. Well, as always...
Can you be any more bored, Casey?
What? I mean, you guys are just talking with so monotone right now at the end.
Tired.
Oh, we talk like you look.
I just came up with a new nickname for Tyler Reddick. You should be excited.
What was it?
She's thrilled. Look at her. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. That's my big dog. That means she's got it. We got to let her out. Let out the dog, Bodie.
Cocky.
Does that dog got a bad stomach, too?
This dog's, bless her heart, man. She's 14. She's seen her better day, man. She's got cataracts. She's got cysts. She's got something called Cush disease, which means she's hungry all the time like me.
Yeah.
Man, she's seen her brighter day. She's deaf because she got a hold of some chewing gum. Man, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's something in a chewing gum called like xylitol, and I might have just made that word up. That might not be accurate. But it's some really weird spelled word with a bunch of X, Y's, and Z's in it. And if a dog gets a hold of it, it shuts their liver down. So she got a hold of this gum, man. I had to take her to the emergency room, and I spent about $1 gazillion. And the stuff they had to give her to keep her alive and keep her liver functioning, it made her deaf. Man, bless her heart. Love her to death. Cocky Jewel, that's her name. She's named after the mascot for the Gamecocks. Even though she's a girl, her name's Cocky.
I think Kylo was born with something like that, because he hasn't listened since day one.
Hey, thank you guys for listening. Tune in this week, man. Martinsville, we need you guys. I mean, we need good ratings, good weather, and let's go racing again. I love all these racing.
Yeah, have a great week, guys. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Word. Yeah, thanks for joining us, and hopefully it's a great race.
We out. Holla.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo.